Hello again, everyone. Welcome to an episode of Game Pass Grab Bag, your weekly podcast for games in the Game Pass collection. Bringing 3D perspective and skill range. I am the completionist of this episode, Andrew. With me, our actual potato, Keith.
I hate you.
And my literal bro, potato, Aaron. Thank you. I thought of that one. That intro took me a while.
I'm sure it did. That was very challenging.
Thank you, Aaron, for joining us. But yes, if you can't guess, this week we played Brotato by Blobfish. Brotato is a auto shooter, just like Vampire Survivors. But, you know, you have a big, wide cast of characters that are, I guess, potatoes, even though they all look like eggs. But essentially, you are trying to survive each wave. You have a timer. You are trying to get through the time, kill as many monsters as you can, collect currency, shop, improve your character, and try to get to wave 20 where you can actually complete the run. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting episode because it's like, how much of Brotato can you talk about? I said the same thing about Vampire Survivor. And so thank you, Aaron, for joining us for this episode because this is going to be a challenge. But going around.
Vampire Survivor episode 2.
Yeah,
I think so.
Even
though it's not even your style of play.
That's the best part about this. I would not say this is my style of game, but maybe it is.
This is Keith's.
this is 100% a Keith style game. But Andrew, I love that you said that in the intro because to me, this is an immediate controversy. You know, when we played Vampire Survivor, like the whole like shtick is there's no vampires in that game.
Yep.
Are we positive you're a potato?
I don't know.
Positive you are.
I don't think you are.
I think you're all very
lumpy.
I think you're an egg.
I think you're an egg. So, okay, my main argument as to why I don't think you're a potato, you get an item when you beat the game with Well-Rounded called Potato. And it looks like a potato. Well, actually, it looks like a poop. But it literally is a brown lump with little roots on it. So that is a potato. And it doesn't look anything like your characters. So I'm with you, Aaron. I think you're Ned.
I think this is similar to Vampire Survivor that there is, like, you assume you're looking at a potato, but then you keep looking at it. You're like, that is an egg. Like, it's not a potato. It is 100% an egg. So I'm glad that we could get that controversy out of the way immediately because you are 100% an egg.
Well, so I was immediately going to fight this. But I was looking through more of the characters, and they are all very round. Because I was going to say, maybe they're kind of lumpy. Potatoes are kind of lumpy. They're not.
They're not round. They're egg-shaped.
Yeah, well, right. Well, either roundish. But I'm agreeing with you. Agreeing with you is what I'm getting at.
So I win first argument. Put that on the tally.
Yes.
Thank you.
1 point, Aaron. But I'm thinking, though, like they're alien-ish. But are they supposed to represent, like, you know, like potatoes? They grow the weird, like, arms and stuff. Like, I don't know. It's still not a potato.
I don't know.
Fighting aliens. You're definitely fighting aliens.
Yeah. I don't.
Well, no, because there's, like, snails.
No, but they're all aliens, though. Because there's legitimately, there was a tooltip that says that you're fighting aliens. Where is it?
Because I just took it as, like, the big bean guys were, like, slugs. Then you have snails, and then, I don't know, like, little, like, plant mold or rock.
The item lore, when you beat the game with the fisherman, it says, the added loot aliens will be affected by your percentage. So it specifically says aliens. So you are fighting aliens. So you're an egg fighting aliens, I guess.
And it's called
Brotato. But anyway, it's called Brotato for whatever reason. But, yeah, let's get into this. Aaron, this is a gamer pass for you.
This is a game. I really hate that this is just the scale. I'm pretty sure I was the one that suggested this scale at the very beginning of this podcast?
No.
Okay. Because I would put this somewhere in the middle. I wouldn't call this a game or a pass, but I guess I have to call it something, so I would call it a game. Because I did enjoy it. And I was hooked on this game, I would say, for a solid 3 days. In fact, the first night I played it, I went to bed a whole lot later than I usually do because...
Whoa. And if anyone knows you, you love your sleep.
That is a big deal. When it is 10 o'clock, it's sign-off time. It's not nighttime, okay? That's what it is for me. So, but I was hooked because it was one of those games, like Vampire Survivors, like, oh, I can do one more run. Even though the runs, they kind of add up in time. They're probably, you know, 15, 20 minutes.
Every round's about a minute, and you're trying to get to round 20.
Yeah. Is it about a minute?
I think the first two waves are like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's...
But yeah, the rest of them are a minute.
It starts pretty short and gets maybe a little bit longer as you go. But yeah, I was hooked. And I would say even now, like I haven't played it now for a few days because it was just such an easy game to pick up. But I don't think I know everything that's happening in that game.
No, I think you do. There's not much to it.
Well, maybe we can break this down a little bit, because now I've got genuine questions then. I've got questions that I think I need answering, so maybe you can answer them. But I'll wait to get into this. This is a perfect game that's just super simple to play, super simple to just pick up and go for a few runs. This, why do I keep getting invited to these types of episodes too? Because this to me is a mobile game, like, put onto Xbox. It is
a mobile game.
It should be a mobile game.
Is it actually a mobile game? I actually didn't look it up.
Survivors. I don't know if it started mobile or moved to mobile after, kind of like Vampire Survivors, but it is available on mobile.
And on, by principle, like I am somebody that tends to like oppose games that are clearly just mobile games on consoles. But gosh darn it, it was just too easy to just sit down and waste a few hours playing it. So yes, I would give it a game. I would not call it a definite game, but a game.
Well, I mean,
go ahead, Keith.
I guess I should just call it a definite game.
Yeah, Keith, why don't you tell everyone, what's your playtime at?
It's like 180 hours.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is. Keith seriously has so many hours in this game.
Keith, that is, what is wrong? Like, what is honestly? Are you okay?
I mean, it's in some ways, no. That's no way around that, no. But part of it is it's me trying to just complete it, but not to fully jump ahead, but achievements. And I'm just trying to 1,000 the game, and that's really what I've gone to. So pretty much any time I kind of just in between a break on something else. Now, the first week or probably the first month, I would say, actually, it's probably more like it. I was playing this like a ton. Now it's more of a downtime between it. I'm just trying to finish out my few characters, but yeah, a lot of hours. So in some sense, yes, definitely a definite game, because I mean, yeah, I played the crap out of it. But yeah, I just, there's a weird things. Mostly I'm just angry at it because I haven't 1,000ed it, I think is what it is. I think if I had 1,000ed it by now, I probably would just be definite game, all excited and happy.
This is mind-blowing. This is mind-blowing to me. Because it's beyond repetitive, and that is the core gameplay loop of this. And like, your experience is going to pretty much be the same just about every time you play it, and you have put in that many hours.
It's a principle Keith, thing, but yeah.
Keith, legitimately, you actually do look kind of distraught, Keith. Are you okay? Have you been sleeping?
Mostly.
Mostly. I just don't know how you get there, but you know what? Good on you.
All right. Well, I'm giving this a definite game. This game is a ton of fun. I would recommend just about anyone try this game. It's very simple. I too also find it very addictive, probably not as much as Keith. I have put...
I'd bet if you still hadn't completed it, you'd be playing it still the amount of hours I would.
Maybe. Well, it's because I would want to complete it.
But, Same here. That's my point.
But you've
like I've completed this and I've still put in hundreds more, you know, tons more hours. My point is that, yes, I'm not as good to complete it.
But you're also at a different level of addiction, because you've even told me where you're like, man, even if I 1,000 this game, I would actually go back and maybe beat like level 3 with everyone, just so everyone has a matching color. Like,
but
you would actually go back.
Like, on that level, it would be purely a go back and like, I just want to kill 20 minutes. And it's always fun to pick up. That's where the definite game to me is that no matter the repetitive nature of it, every run is different enough, and that I'm just like, all right, it feels like I'm doing something different every time.
So yeah, you're probably not wrong. I probably would probably still be playing it. I find this game very fun. It's super simple and easy. I actually would go as far to say, I think I enjoyed this game more than Vampire Survivors. I really liked Vampire Survivors, but I actually think Brotato's better. It's like Vampire Survivors got to a point where it like a lot of stuff goes on the screen and it just kind of gets lost. And the characters don't change. I didn't feel like they changed that much to mix up the gameplay formula. In this, they do. I really like the different characters in this game. It was just, to me, I'm like, ooh, I really want to try this guy. And once you got a character that really sucked to play as, I freaking hated Well-Rounded. It took me forever to beat with that guy. But it's just so fun when you get a character you absolutely love. But yeah, this is a definite game.
Let's talk about the story. Anyways, that was fun. The gameplay is great.
We don't even know if they're potatoes. So, I mean, that's already... Or, I guess we confirmed there's aliens in there, but we don't even know if there's potatoes in this story. So, yeah, there's no...
I mean, there's a potato item, like I said, but...
I'm fairly certain if you look at the Brotato website that they would classify them as Brotatos.
I bet you they won't.
The description I see here, no. Brotato is a top-down arena shooter roguelite where you play a potato wielding up, I guess, a potato wielding up to six.
That's an assumption. They're putting that in as an assumption that is not from the developers.
I think you're right. I think that is an assumption because this is from Time to Beat.
I'm sorry. Why are we going back on this argument? I already won a point.
That's on the Steam community.
I already got
description,
a point.
Which is created by them, is it not?
I already got a point. So
let's say, Google, are you a potato in Brotato?
I was trying that, and I couldn't get a solid
Google
answer.
Google won't know. The AI doesn't know.
I'm going to
block
Fish's website is what I'm doing. My new game, Brotato.
Yeah, it's Steam lists as that you're a potato.
You play a potato wielding up to six weapons.
But see, that's a generalization, because not all of them wield six weapons.
This is literally...
Some of them wield more than six weapons.
.dev website. This is from the creators. It's not a generalization.
Do they have a Twitter?
They do.
Because I feel like we should reach out to them.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I agree. I'm still on your side, Eric. Because like I said, there's an item that's a potato, and it literally looks like a potato. But anyway, yeah, the story is you're just a potato shooting aliens.
I kind of like the idea of the remainder of this podcast episode just being arguing about whether they're a potato or egg.
I think it's eggs.
It'd be a good use of the time.
45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Just because your podcast is gone doesn't mean you have to try to get rid of ours.
No, I think this is content for what? If anything, I think I'm helping. Because then they're curious. They will download the game, agree it's an egg, not a potato. And then I win more. I get more points.
See, sure. Like I said, Aaron, I'm on your team. I agree. I think they're eggs. Because even one of the characters, Gollum, has like cracks in him, looking like a cracked egg. Yeah, but anyway.
Like a rock, but that's fine.
I mean, rocks generally don't have cracks in them. But anyway.
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah.
Show me one rock with a crack in it. I dare you.
No, so but, rocks.
Once it has a crack in it, it's two rocks. That's what happens. You split the rock, it becomes two rocks. Right. It's not now.
Aaron is officially uninvited from future episodes.
Could be a potato wrinkle. There you go. Javier in Discord here agrees with us. But yeah, so the gameplay. We were just going to skip over the story there. So gameplay, as I said, you're picking one of, gosh, how many characters are there? There's like 30
there's
something.
A lot. This is why the 144 think this game is crazy, because there's a lot.
There's 44 characters. Each one has their own kind of perks and also some negative aspects to them. So, you know, like case in point, one of my favorite characters, the masochist. As he keeps taking damage, he also gets more strength. So you want to kind of build him where he can survive by taking damage. But as he's taking damage, he's getting stronger and stronger. You have someone like the farmer who, as he keeps collecting crops, he gets more powerful. And so you kind of want to do a build where you're getting crops. But the whole gameplay of it, and it's like I said, the shtick is, you know, you're trying to survive these waves. There's 20 waves. It first starts off, for, I'm pretty sure, like 30 seconds, 45, then eventually each wave's about a minute. And you're just trying to survive. Enemies are appearing on the screen, and it's an auto shooter. So the game will just kind of shoot the enemies as you have weapons. But you actually can turn that off. You can actually aim yourself if you want. So there is a little more gameplay in this than there is Vampire Survivors. But as you're collecting currencies, materials, that's what they're called. But yeah, you go to a shop between each wave, try to buy some weapons, upgrades, perks, and try to keep surviving.
Which fun fact about the manual aim, and I was a big fan of it, is you can turn on the manual aim, but it still continues to auto aim. The only time it does manual is if you choose to utilize the right stick at all. So it could actually be pretty helpful if you were in a chase situation, is what I found. You have like this huge mob behind you and you have a good amount of knockback. You just aim behind you and run forward at all times. But then you just go back.
As someone who's actually completed this game, I never turned it on, so it's not necessary.
I didn't say it was necessary. So, I said it was.
If you want to take a pro tip from someone who's put like 12 days on it and still hasn't beaten it.
That's crazy.
Still crazy. I still can't get over your gameplay time, Keith. But yeah. So I got to ask you guys, what's your guys' favorite characters?
I mean, it's been a while since I fired it up, but the one I remember, probably because it took me the longest to complete, was the Brawler. Took me quite a while. And you kind of have to get a little bit lucky on some of these rounds. Now, because the comparison is obviously there, Vampire Survivor kind of, I don't think it created a genre of a game, but it probably popularized a genre of a game. And it was a massive hit, and it was a massive hit on Game Pass. And we all agree this game is better than Vampire Survivor. And when you think about it, why it's better, this is, I think, the core reason why. We all have a favorite character of the 40 roster. And in Vampire Survivor, you had ones that you liked, but there were a lot that were very similar that I could play multiple characters and I would barely notice the difference. This game, everybody's like all 40 characters are vastly different.
Yeah.
Like they did a very good job of making each one of them feel completely different. Like their pluses and minuses are pretty, like some of them are drastic.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think there's probably, if I'm looking through the list, I would think of maybe like five that are quote unquote similar, but even still so different in their aspects. Okay. Well, so I think too, one of the biggest differences that, and this is kind of just like any roguelike, is that so Brotato does you don't level up anything outside of your runs. Like everything takes place within a run. You unlock more the things to add to the pool, but you never actually get a stronger starting character. It's always just changing. And I think that that's pretty important too. And that's why you can do what they do with the vast amount of characters. Whereas Vampire Survivors, where it was all based on adding these skills and percentages outside of the run and pre-run, all the characters really did was mostly just had different weapons that you could unlock. And where I think, too, maybe not a frustrating part, but a big difference maker in Vampire Survivors versus Brotato is you were locked into your weapons. You accidentally pick one, you pick one and decide you don't like it anymore. It's there. That's what you run your run with. In Brotato, you are swapping them in and out, and holy crap, I got this awesome legendary one. Let me grab this. Let me get rid of that one. It's just so much more flexible and fun in that way.
Yeah. So, yeah, like if you play the arms dealer, you lose your weapons every run.
What's that?
Like the arms dealer, you lose your weapons every wave. So you constantly have to keep switching.
Well, and that's it. Part of it too is it's not just changing your percentages when you're changing characters. It's changing your absolute gameplay. You have the soldier that can't shoot when he's moving. You have, you know, the arms dealer who you lose all your weapons. You have the entrepreneur who you lose all your money, but everything's cheaper. And like those are just huge gameplay differences. The golem you referenced, he can't heal in any way, shape, or form, but he's got a ton of armor and gets a massive amounts of HP. So it's just like all these weird little trade-offs. And the only thing that sucks to me about this game is, from my completionist perspective, is getting stuck on one character. Outside of getting stuck on one character, even that, like even where I'm stuck at, my pacifist, I hate him so much, is... If I were to come back to it, you know, after playing a bunch of different characters, it would feel fun and refreshing and I wouldn't mind it. It's just, man, I'm just keep grinding it out over and over again. It makes me want to pull my hair out.
So that's the character you're stuck on as a pacifist?
Yep. I told you. Well, I also said the soldier would be my last one, but my most recent claim to my last one was the pacifist. That's when I was, I think, right around 10 left, and it still is. Cannot get past it.
Have you beat it with the streamer yet?
When I said my last one is the pacifist, I meant that the pacifist is my last one.
When you said last one, I thought you meant the last one when you talked to me, like last time you talked to me.
No.
That's where I got confused at, Keith.
I had cleaned it once, and it is officially my last one.
Yeah. Now, this is, I think I mentioned it to Keith when I was playing this, I think. One of my issues with this game, and really with all of these games, is there's a lot of just luck involved in it. Not only is that like a stat, but I mean, sometimes like you have a character that clearly like their path is, I'm going to need these items. If I don't get these items, if these items never present themselves to me, I can never win. Like I have no chance of actually getting beyond that. And that would be frustrating to me because sometimes I'd be like six rounds in and I'm like, I clearly need like these two things. And these things are just never showing up. And at some point, this is going to ramp up and I'm going to be too far behind. And now I'm just wasting my time because I didn't get these things early enough. Now I'm kind of screwed.
I actually disagree with you.
There's a yes and a no to that because the game, I don't know how I can prove it other than just 150 plus hours.
Okay, then why haven't you completed the pacifist yet?
because I mean, honestly, it's my own fault. My closest times I've come to beating it, I can usually attribute to like, I swapped out this weapon when I really shouldn't have. I did this thing that took away these stats. All of a sudden, I started picking up one that started doing damage to me every second. Like I can almost always attribute it to something I've done and I've caused it myself.
I think now that's the case sometimes because obviously you can still make mistakes in these runs. Like, obviously,
yes,
you can be, and some of the items you're getting are gambles, right? Like, sometimes I'm going to start the next round with one life, and, you know, so there's obviously things that happen there.
Yeah, but and regardless, is if you want to throw my hours at me without completing it, Andrew's going to agree with me on this point, who has completed it, you know, so we want to talk about him, is the game does guide some of your RNG. It's still RNG focused, but it does tend to focus it. There's a lot of, and there's also just a lot of weird things it does not tell you. I was digging around on the Reddit page today for it, and just a weird fact I learned is that in the first two waves, like the shop modes, you're guaranteed to get two weapons every single roll. So you can use that to stack up your weapons at the very beginning because numbers and your weapons are better than upgrades. And it tends to focus on the weapons you're using. So it really, there's so many little things going on that it doesn't tell you about.
So when you and I kind of argued this point earlier, so I don't know, this was like a month ago, we were playing Overwatch or something. I mentioned playing Brotato and you mentioned this to me. You said, well, the game will seem to feed you things that you're already building, which I agree. So like if you're building explosive, it might throw you some more things that are kind of explosive focused. But that's my whole point, though. It's only if you find those things kind of early on. Once you're kind of getting around six, if you have not found the things that you've needed at that point, it's now going to start feeding you things to what you're currently building. And if that's not right, you're toast. Like you're now stuck going through the rest of this round and you're never going to get the things that you need unless you get really, really lucky. And obviously, again, luck is an actual thing in this that can affect it. But if that's not what you can build, if you're using a character that's low on luck or something like that, then you're kind of stuck and just hoping that, man, I hope that in these first few rounds, I can get a few of these things I know I need for this character. Like, it's the only way that I'm going to be able to get through it on this thing. That, to me, is an element of the game that I find frustrating.
So, as Aaron's saying, there's actually a bunch of stats in this game. Like, you do have some primary stats. You know, there's luck, harvest, damage, armor, dodge. There's a bunch of secondary stuff like explosion sides, experience gain, how far you can pick things up. There's a whole bunch of stats you're getting. So when we're talking about these items that you're grabbing, they always have usually a pro and a con. So to be like, oh yeah, this will give you 5 armor, but you lose like 5% dodge or vice versa. You know, this gives you extra dodge, but you'll have less armor. And you know, some of the stats, if you go negative, will actually obviously have a negative impact. If you have negative armor, you take additional damage. So there are these different stats that you're kind of playing. But I am with Keith that if you're playing the character who is all based around luck, if you're collecting luck items, the game tends to throw you more luck items. But and that's the thing too. Like, I do feel like there is a handful of times I played this game and I was like, this run's done. Like, I'm not getting anything. Like you said, Aaron, by like wave six, I was kind of like, yeah, this is going to be a loss. But I felt like most of the time I could do just fine by just having skill in dodging. So that's the other thing too. When you're collecting these materials during your run, it's also experience points and your character levels up. When your character levels up, it gives you a choice of four different stats. Do you want to increase permanently your dodge, increase your range, increase your range damage, melee damage, armor, health, and elemental damage, and I think something else. But yeah, you pick these stats, and obviously if you have higher luck, there's a higher chance you'll get a like rarity stat. So gray is generic, then it's blue,
purple,
then red. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For like the rarity. And so, you know, if you have good luck, you could have higher like legendary stats and items. But no, yeah, Aaron, I feel like the game to me, I generally don't like roguelikes that I feel like I'm just a slave to the RNG. And I didn't actually feel like this was the case. I did feel like this game actually required a good amount of skill of dodging and knowing how to build your character. So the character Keith stuck on the pacifist, I did it first try. I did the pacifist. No, I think it took me two tries. But it did not take me long. I pulled up Key's actual legitimate playtime, which is 7 days and 15 hours.
Here's the thing, though, right?
To do the math for you.
Keith, do you think Andrew genuinely understands the pacifist better than you, and that's why he did it in two runs? Or do you think he maybe got a little bit lucky and got the right items in the right place to do it?
No, on both counts. What I think Andrew is better at than I am is the dodging and diving. And the pacifist is a perfect example of it. The pacifist starts with negative 100% damage. So there are characters in this game where you can steamroll growing your damage percentage, but it takes, like, even with characters that are built for it, it actually takes quite a few rounds. Like, you're talking like 10, 12 rounds before you really start to get it moving. That 100% is hard to come back from. So what you're talking about is really you have to rely on moving away from characters. And this is something that it's not a Brotato thing. It is a all gaming thing. I have the worst Twitch reactions. So what happens
is... This is factually true, by the way. I can confirm over many years of knowing you.
It is. So it is times where there's six bullets coming at me and I'm like, oh, crap. If I keep moving, I think I can make it. No, last second, I think I'm going to switch the other way. And I just run into the one I was trying to avoid in the first place. I don't even run into another one. I run into the one I probably could have avoided had I done nothing other than just continue moving on the path that I was doing. But I get frantic, I frazzle, and I make stupid, stupid mistakes. And the pacifist is, I don't want to say unforgiving, because I really do think he's pretty easy if you build it right, or even just do it right. But it pains me to say, but it's a pure example of where Andrew's skill is very much different than mine.
Keith, do you know everyone's experienced this? When you're walking on like the sidewalk and someone's walking directly at you and you go right, they go right, you go left. How often does that happen to you? Do you just like bump into everyone on the street?
No, not that bad. I mean, okay. It happens probably more frequently because I have a tendency to want to like give people the right of way. But I'm also pretty good about it because I am the primary grocery shopper in my house. So I have a pretty good sense of walking at people in aisles and things like that in confined spaces. So real life, I'm actually pretty good at it. Just video games, not so much.
Can I add something? Again, I want to go back to that overall theme of why this game is actually better than Vampire Survivor. This is one of those things. The primary stat focus.
Yeah. Like
when you're playing Vampire Survivor, those are kind of vague numbers that kind of sit off in the background. This, it is very front and center. At the end of each round, you see your primary stats and you're looking at, what do I want to build? How do I want to build it? This is another reason why I think this game is better than Vampire Survivor and why it becomes more addicting. Because you have such a real-time look as you're building that just makes it kind of fun to deal with.
100%.
And so that's just, I would say is element number two as to why this game actually is more fun to play. Even though I do think
that luck is still, because yeah, I did want to kind of come at you guys a little bit on this one and call a little bit of baloney, because Andrew's like, I'm dodging and weaving out there. There's like a round, it's like round 9 or something like that, yep, where it just floods you. And you know, at that point, if you do not have, I don't care how you build your character, if you do not have the right weapons at that point, there's just so much that you literally,
I will agree with you that,
cannot keep up with it. And that's where I say, again, the luck factor on, gosh, I'm getting a lot of slingshots out here. Yeah, the slingshots are not going to get you through that round.
I like the slingshot.
The slingshot's fine. The slingshot's fine. But if you've got four slingshots, you're not surviving that round, because that round
Why do you not have 6 weapons by round 9?
No, I that's what I'm saying.
Good point.
You can.
That's not random. That's an easy thing to do. That's what I was literally telling you, is that the first 2 rounds, you can make sure that you have 6 weapons by the first 2 rounds.
But if those are all level 1 weapons, or even level 2 weapons, you're still going to struggle through that round.
This is
3 damage is better than 0 damage.
You started this up.
Disagreeing. No.
We're becoming what people hate about video game podcasts. 3 angry white guys yelling about video games. But
dumb game at that. Like, it's not even a challenging, like, it's just kind of a fun game to play. But
you started this episode and you're like, I have questions, because there's a lot of things I don't understand about this game.
I haven't gotten to my questions yet.
Well, so clearly one of the things that you don't understand is the numbers over levels game, is the fact that one blue weapon, heck, even one red, unless it is a legendary weapon of some sort, one red weapon is not half as good as 4 level 1 weapons, because of the way the numbers roll in this. And especially, like, if you have just one weapon, you're very most likely, unless you're using the one-hand character, you have your late game or early game. Like, I just don't know. You have to have numbers of weapons. And outside of the pacifist, who has such a sharp drop off of damage, there is not a single character at level 9 that I struggle with. If I have my 6 weapons, because it feeds you a massive horde of the easiest enemies. There's a handful of the stronger ones, but it's massive hordes of the ones that die or should be dying in one hit. Unless you have completely mismanaged your build. And I'm talking, you have to go off the rails bad.
Okay. Well, let's then say this. If I'm a character that is the brawler, so I have to be using kind of melee weapons. If it's fed me a lot of guns.
Well, that's stupid, because you wouldn't get that, because the brawler doesn't get ranged weapons.
He does.
I like Aaron argue with Keith here. He has 7 dates in this game.
Hey, he absolutely gets fed ranged weapons.
I have the character list pulled up. I'm looking at it.
What do you mean he doesn't get them? I wouldn't use them. That's the point.
Oh, I take it back. He just starts with -50 range damage. So you are right. He does. He can take them.
Ooh. It would make no
sense. Aaron got it.
But all you have to do, though, my point is that luck still ends up being a factor. It's not, I think you can work your way out of those problems. I totally agree with you guys that you can 100% work your way out of those things. But sometimes you're just getting bad rolls, and I'm getting a whole lot of white weapons right now. And it's like, okay, I can load on a bunch of these things. It's not going to work. It doesn't work for my build. And then what the game does is then starts feeding me those things more. And I'm like, that's not my build. I'm just doing that to try and survive round 9, because I got to have these weapons here. And then it's like, well, clearly you want these things, so here's more of these things, and here's things to help those. And I'm like, no, do not give those to me. I want to get rid of them as quickly as I can. Give me things to get out of this. And it's all on luck that you guys claim doesn't exist.
But that's where you're missing my point, is that in those first 2 rounds, I'm going back to it, and this is something that I learned, but if in those first 2 rounds, and where it actively will give you weapons that are either closely related or matching what you have, like, perfect example, I paused a pacifist run that I was on. The stick is not his normal starting weapon, but I got the stick on my first roll. I picked it up. I rolled again. It gave me another stick. I grabbed it. I rolled again. I grabbed another stick, because I kept getting 2 weapons and it kept giving me ones that matched what I was building. So I was very quickly able to. So your brawler example, it starts you, you pick one weapon, which is all fist weapons, and it starts you with a bonus fist. So you start with immediately two weapons that are fist related. You grab two more at the first wave, and you're almost guaranteed you're going to be in all set range. You're not going to get fed a bunch of them. You might not get all the melee damage you want, but you're going to be fine on weapons.
I love how clinical Keith is with this right now.
Let me break down the numbers for you.
I have gone through the Reddit channels of Brotato.
I have.
Which is crazy. I didn't know. I should be a Reddit for this, but that's wild. That
Today is the first day I pulled it up for the record, but yes.
He's probably a moderator.
Yeah. He's the only man that has played 7 years of Brotato.
I'm gonna make fun of myself at the same time that I say this. There was a post, someone had danger 5 for every single character,
which is the highest difficulty for what? Listeners. Danger 5 is the highest difficulty our listeners.
Now, were their hours the same as mine? Yes. But
man, that's such a kick in the teeth, man.
I do genuinely think if I had gone just playing Danger 5, there's probably plenty of characters I could have done it on Danger 5 with, but I stuck with a good medium Danger 2 as an in-between.
I think I've done Danger 5 on like 3 characters. Obviously, I did it for 1 to get the achievement, but then I was just like, oh, this character's really easy. I'm going to try Danger 5. See? And yes, I did for a couple of them.
Yeah, the other night you were doing that. You weren't even completed it. You had beat the fisherman. You're like, I'm just going to do Danger level 5 for the fisherman for no good reason.
And here you are screaming about the pacifist. How do I beat this? And I'm just screwing around.
I think I was still yelling about another character at that point.
I think so. Man. See, I think it's so funny because the character I hated, as I said, was well-rounded. He's so boring. He literally is just like, oh yeah, gets like a little extra damage for range, a little extra damage for this. Like, he's just little stats, but he's just not interesting. And I hated that character so much. It took me so many tries with him. But yeah, the passive, like I said, I did it no issues. The other one I hated that took me a while was the streamer. But I recommend doing the streamer because he gets such a good item when you beat the game. That's why I was asking you, Keith, because his item, the more enemies that are on screen, the more your attack speed increases. So his item is perfect for the pacifist because the pacifist is all about having enemies on the screen.
Now, well, so that's where the RNG comes into play the most. Yeah. Is those items, the legendary items that you're getting, I think if I read somewhere, it's like level 9 is the earliest you can start to get legendaries. Maybe it might just be weapon levels, but all that said is that if you don't get some of those things, those are the real game makers. It gets the little white items and blue items along the way are going to be helpful, but the game makers and breakers are the red items. It's not even always the weapons. I've had runs where I've completed it with, you know, 2 or 3 blue weapons and I'm fine, but as long as you have the stats to back it up, just about anything can be an absolute just steamroll.
Yeah. Man. All right.
All right. What do you think is like the best runs that I ever have are anything that I can load up on turrets on, which again is like random if I'm going to get them or not, especially that healing turret. If I can get a healing turret, it's game over.
I love the turrets.
I can win if I get the healing turret. And that's where I kind of say like, well, it's luck if I'm going to get these things, because I just got to hope that I roll these turrets and I hope that I can get a bunch of them, or the one where you kill the trees and you get the turrets automatically.
Yeah, the pocket factory. That's such a good item.
That one is the absolute best. When I get that, it's like, all right, cool. I'm going to
grab that one. I will grab that. Does not matter what character I'm playing as.
Yeah.
Because there's no real negative to it. It's only a positive. Yep. But for me, where I do best, because again, the dodging and weaving is my weakness in this game. I tend to do best when I have characters that don't get surrounded. So range tends to be my best friend. I like to do, like, I had one run. I know, Andrew, you don't do endless. I do a little bit, and I think I got to wave 40. And I think it was actually with the entrepreneur, because I finally just got enough weapons of everything. I had, I think, 2 nuclear launchers at level 4, and it was just, I didn't see enemies. It was just explosions dead, explosions dead, explosions dead, and it was awesome. It was a ton of fun. quite frankly.
One of the stupidest items that I always buy, and it's bit me in the butt so many times, is the spooky ghost or the silly ghost.
Yeah. Weird ghost.
Next run, you start at 1 HP, and all the item gives you is 3 max HP. But so many times I'll start the next run because I'm like, I'm wave 4. I was like, I'll probably be good. And instantly spawn. I'm like, all right, I have 1 health. And then boom, I get shot. And it's just like, oh, there you go. So I end my run.
Now, I think you told me that ghost. You hadn't died by it, but have you died by it, Aaron? Because I have quite a few. I'm just going to hand
it. I only did like 2 or 3 times.
A whole bunch of times. Is you get that weird ghost, but you have an item that also does damage you per second. So you
like
just
a bloody harvest.
And yes. Immediately
I've
die.
I've done that once and realized what I did. Because sometimes it's like second nature. You just kind of click on the things you know you like. And sometimes you're clicking on 2 that. Like, oh, that's actually a bad combo. That was going to hurt.
Yeah, there's one time I've killed myself like 2 or 3 times, Keith. I'm not completely impervious. But yet there was one time I did it where I'm like, I have really good health regen. Maybe my health regen will kick in faster than the damage will kick in. Spoiler alert, it did not. It does not. As soon as you start that run, you take a 1 damage and instantly die. So, yeah, be careful with that ghost.
Yeah, and, I think though probably my most fun run though was the golem, because he does the explosive. Is it the golem who does
the bull damage? That's the bull.
The bull.
Anytime he gets hit, he explodes.
Yeah, he was probably the one of the most fun I did, because you have no weapons and it's just all running into things.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
I haven't tried that one. That actually sounds super fun.
It's just one of those things that I think that it's such a cool switch up of the gameplay, because the whole aspect of this game is the weapon play. It's about the, 50 or 40 plus weapons. I don't know how many there are. There's tons and tons of weapons, how you can combo them, play them. Because one of the things we didn't even talk about, which is just, it's just another very silent like attribute in the game, is stacking your weapon types. So every weapon is broken down into different types: gun, elemental, primitive, and
heavy,
some of them
blade,
have
medical.
2 of them, and as you get them, they add all these bonus stats to you. So like, that just it's not a huge factor, but it is a factor because it's part of how you're building what weapons you want for your character. And I lost my train of thought, and I got myself on that, and then I forgot where I started on it.
Yeah, one of my pro tips that I learned, it took me some time. Whenever I started, like I said, every time you level up, you get to pick primary stat. I almost always, for the starting off, I was like, ooh, dodge. Dodge is king. Honestly, no. Damage is king. Like, if you are doing melee or range, pick range or melee damage. If you cannot kill things, it doesn't matter how much dodge you have, you are going to lose. You need to be able to kill things. So that's also why I kind of argue with like the RNG with you, Aaron. It's like, if I know I'm building range or melee or anything, if you could just keep getting damage, armor and dodge are irrelevant. You just need to be able to kill things.
That's where the RNG kills me the most, is those rolls. Is I think that at the beginning it fights you on those, on really giving you the rolls that you want for some of those early stat bonuses. But outside of that, largely you usually have enough, money or whatever to keep rolling till you get what you want.
Since Keith kind of agreed with me, do I get 2 points?
No.
All right. I'll check back.
I like your hustle though.
I'm looking to win the podcast.
What was your other questions you had about this game, Aaron?
If I get into these questions, is that it's going to get way too into the weeds, because this is just going to be me asking questions about a video game. But does that kind of defeat the purpose of this episode? Or did we already get too far into the weeds anyway? So let's just keep it rolling.
Well, I mean, I think we can cover music and sound. It exists, but honestly, the music sucks after 100 plus hours. Oh, I turned it off.
It was never, the music was never offensive. I didn't find it offensive,
but it's really just, it's a lot, and you can do without it. And you can listen to a podcast, or music is a better option. The sound effects are fine. They're not offensive at all, but they don't really add anything of value to the gameplay. The graphics are really fine. It's a top-down shooter, but the designs are really fun. So anyway, like back to gameplay.
Javier says we're past the weeds. We're in potato country.
Yeah, we are. Well, but all right, so fine. I question that I need to learn, that I might just have to go to the Reddit to figure out. So one of my issues is the stats. So the stats are obviously a huge part of this game. We've talked about that a lot at this point. What is engineering? What the heck does engineering do?
Effectively, it's just damage for your turrets or yes. or explosives
or land or mines.
Not explosives, but like your mines.
That's
so if you
figured
if you ever go to an item. So let's case in point, like if you go to the turrets, like if you go by the turret, in parentheses, it'll say 50% of your wrench, which the wrench is the engineering stat point. So like things will specifically say, like it tells you the scaling of it. Okay. So like the flamethrower only says it does 1% of your elemental damage. So it shows you the scaling that the weapon will do depending on that particular stat. So, which is very important to see, because I told Keith this, it took him for a long time to figure out, the shuriken is a ranged weapon, but it's actually classified as melee. It scales off of your melee damage, not your range damage. So that's why it's very important to put your cursor over an item and see what scales with it.
Gotcha. Okay. Cause
yeah. So if you're doing the brawler who does melee, you can get the shuriken.
Okay. Yeah, and you start to get some of them that are actually like dependent. They'll actually get more damage on your range, on your speed, like all kinds of different factors. So the tooltips are largely very important.
Yeah, like the jousting lance, it scales off of both your melee damage and your speed.
And so the more speed you have, the yep. more damage it's going to do.
Okay. Yep, and that's also why it's important to level up your weapons. As I agree with Keith, it's not as important. Having a level one weapon, like having two level one weapons, is better than having one level two weapon. But every time a level weapon levels up, the scaling improves. So case in point, the knife, it only does 80%, a level one only does 80% of your melee damage. Oh wait, no, the knife actually doesn't level scaling up at all. But the plank does. It starts at 50%, then 55% of your melee, then 60% of your melee, then 65% of your melee. So that's why leveling up a weapon can be really helpful as well.
Okay.
And well, into that, kind of piggybacking on that, is where you don't underestimate, like, oh, it's the slingshot. Oh, it's the stick. Because the stick, for every other stick you have, it gets, like, they each individually get a stacking bonus. So if you have six sticks at level one, they all get +4 for every stick you have. So they get 24 bonus base damage each. Or yeah. What's 6 times 5? Or 4 times 20. They get 20 each. But then as you go to a level two, then it's like +6 per stick. Then it's +8 per stick. And so if you have a full six stack of six of level four sticks, they're all doing like 90+ damage. Because yeah, at that point, base. You've got tons of melee damage, your damage percentage. And that's where even like balancing those stats come into play too. Like Andrew was saying, you want to stack your melee and range, but it takes a good run, but say you have like 50 melee damage, now percentages start to play a much bigger factor. If you're talking about 10%, rather than adding 2 melee damage, you're adding 10% of 50 damage, so you're getting 5 more.
So you're like saying
it's a numbers game.
He's so clinical.
It might make sense to not combine some of your weapons.
Yeah.
Sometimes, at least early on.
I always combine.
And actually probably more so later on. Like if you're like, oh, I have 4 blue weapons, I'm going to combine them and get a level 4 weapon. You're worse off doing that because you're going to take away so much more damage. And in some cases, percentages of other stats too.
Yeah.
And this is where like, I know you guys are laughing at me a little bit because I'm getting a little bit nerdy, but this is one of the things I think is so cool about Rotato is there's, like it's a numbers game, and there's so many little factors of like trying to balance these things. I just get really into it. It's fun.
I'm waiting for Keith to share an Excel sheet with us.
I mean, what's
okay, guys? I broke it down,
but someone probably could. There's probably a scale of like here's where you need to start doing this versus that, and I'm sure somebody has.
What's funny to me is just that like you guys have played like genuinely like masterpiece games for this podcast before, and yet in Keith's eyes, like this is the masterpiece. Like the masterpiece is Brotato all along. It's not Mass Effect. It's Brotato.
Oh, Keith does not like Mass Effect.
I know. Like it's
just so crazy.
That's kind of the funny thing about this is that this game hits him in a way that like normal games hit most people.
It just triggers the endorphins in my brain.
Yeah, it does something for you.
I can just imagine like Keith being like an E3 and a game like this gets revealed and it's Dead Silent. You just hear Keith being like, yeah, Brotato 2.
I'm hoping for some new content here, because that's one thing Vampire Survivors has done vastly better than Brotato has, is the content additions. Now, the content is a lot of the same as this, or of what it was. Give me a whole wave of 10 new Brotato characters, 20 new weapons. Oh, girl.
$20 DLC. Keith's like, yes.
$10. And
you would actually have a limit.
I'm in for another 70 hours at least.
Listen, we got to find these guys' Twitter or X. We
it's
find
their literally not very hard.
I think it's going to be really difficult. Search. So we really got to Google this one and really get into it. I'm sure it's on the Reddit or something. And then
we'll have to hire a sleuth.
You can reach out to them and see what's coming. Like might be a sequel here.
I mean, I was on their dev site and I didn't see anything about a roadmap.
Why were you on their dev site? What are you doing there?
Because I was trying to figure out if they mentioned anything about potatoes, and that's how
we
I
already
confirmed
determined it. They're eggs. We've already done that.
They're potatoes from the developers themselves.
I mean, I've already got a point for that though, so you can't take the point back. So let's just be fair here. That's my point.
What country are they from? What weird potatoes they have there? But yeah.
I don't know.
Do we wrap this up now, get to achievements?
Yeah, Keith, I want you to list how many achievements do you have left?
One.
Okay, because you get one for every...
The pacifist, yep.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So I recommend this game for achievement hunters. If you are not Keith, a normal time to beat, just to beat the game. I think I beat the game literally first try. No, it was like second try because I didn't like well-rounded. But it's very easy to just beat your first run. But overall, for completionists, you're looking at like 53 hours. I am at a day in 12 hours, which that was satisfying to text Keith going, I just 1,000 potato. Keith was not very happy.
Man, when he's down, like, geez, he's doing his best.
I mean, because I knew he was going to find out, because I know he was grinding this game, and he was like, oh, I just want to beat this. I want to get this done. And then I was at work and I was like, nope, I beat the game.
Like, but at what point is he not grinding this game and it's just abusing him? Like, he's there, right?
Oh, it's abusing.
That was
the developers here reach out to him.
At the 90-hour mark, you're just punishing yourself.
Because that's what's funny about this game, too. Like, a lot of games, Keith will say he has a lot of playtime. Because the quick resume, the game is still kind of in the background. There is no quick resume with Brotato. The game shuts down.
No, when he you legitimately turn your Xbox earned off. Every single
he,
hour.
He has legitimately earned.
I would venture to bet there's 10 to 15 hours where I've probably left it on pause and walked away. But that doesn't accept the 180 hours.
But this game is a fantastic cloud game. My only gripe, I don't know how this game still does not have touch controls. You need to have a controller to play this game on xCloud, and it makes no sense. You literally just need a joystick and A button. That's it. That's the only buttons you are pressing in this game. And so it boggles my mind that this game doesn't touch controls. But unlike other run-based games, this game saves mid-run, which is so good. So if you were...
I didn't test it.
I did, and it's so good. Yeah, so if you complete a wave, you could turn the game off, and it starts right where you're at. So good. It irritates me when roguelikes don't do that.
I never tested it. I'm sure Keith has tested that. Yeah, many a times.
But yeah, highly recommend this game for xCloud. But yeah, I guess let's get to our final thoughts here. Who wants to go first?
Do we even have to say final thoughts? Keith loves it. Game of the year.
I mean, I think Vampire Survivors was my game of the year that came out. If not, it was very much on the runner up list for it. If I didn't actually crown it that, then I was very close. Yeah, I don't know. Brotato does the things I want it to do, and it's quick to pick up. Every time it's at least different enough that it feels like I'm doing something even a little different, even though it's always the same. I hate my life a little bit with it now, but hot dang, it's a lot of fun. And like one of my wife's running jokes about any video game I play is she's like, how many buttons are there? And if there's more than one, she's out. And so while I haven't actually put a controller in her hands and had her play this, I genuinely think she would. So if we're talking about accessibility, there's there's very few games that are about as accessible as this one is.
Isn't that your rule with video games? How many buttons?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess you could say that. There was many hours I put into like Clicker Heroes, and that involved a lot of active playing. God. But all that to say, though? No. Well,
that's pretty much
just basically the same ones, just the left stick and the A button. Sometimes you have to come up the right bumpers to move tabs and things. But
Keith has come up with like a list of like the crappy games that nobody likes that he actually loves. Clicker Hero. What was that? Dungeons and Dragons Auto one you were playing for a while. Like Forgotten Realms or something like that. DPS Idol.
I think you might have, you got to be close to me or maybe past me at this point, because I maybe put about 10 minutes a week into it the last month and a half, and I see you still at least 30 minutes or so here and there.
No, I haven't played DPS Idol in like a week and a half or 2 weeks now. It's been some time.
Yeah, I finally got Brotato was really the one that broke me away from
it
that.
It saved me.
It's sad to say, but
I love you, Brotato.
A lesser fate.
You got me off DPS Idol. I still think it was
four, though. These episodes are nonsense. 87. No, 86, because perfect. I was born in 86. Perfect number.
I mean, I'm not going to go into too much of an overview at the end. You obviously heard this episode. There's not much to this game, but it is so basic and fun. I would say better than Vampire Survivors. Each character just plays so drastically different that it was just, I loved unlocking new people. Great for achievement hunters. I'm giving it an 80.
Oh yeah, we didn't really talk about that.
I did.
Oh,
okay. Didn't I?
Well, you mocked me, but
you did.
It's largely pretty easy.
Okay, so you went 80, Keith went 86. I think this game is good. It's a fun game. I gave it a game. I wouldn't give it a definite game since you guys both gave it a definite game and gave it that high of a score. I got to go lower than that. So I'm going to go 77.
You're the closest to Metacritic. For Metascore, it has a 76.
Right. I am.
User reviews is an 8.2.
Yeah,
but it's funny. It has like no negative reviews. Literally for users, it has one negative review. For critics, it has zero negative reviews. All right. So that's the thing. Nobody hates this game.
Yeah, but you got to be thinking of these. Like I just mentioned about Keith, you got to be thinking about scales, right? Like there are genuine games that developers spent like 9 years developing and they got like 90s. You can't give this game a 90, even if you don't have any negatives to give it. You can't do that. Like, no matter how good or how much you like this game is not, you know,
it would just
change video games. Yeah, because I
mean, it's no Baldur's Game.
Well, maybe for Keith, it might, but for most people, that is true. This is no Baldur's Game.
They had a baby version of Brotato called Lost Potato.
I was going to say, baby Brotato.
Yeah. No, it's the same. It's
Keith, he just
sound roguelike.
Ooh, Keith just opened up a new door.
It's on still my heart.
And it's only $1.49 because they also have a third game called Space Gladiators Escaping Tartarus.
Keith's
elevating right now.
Christmas came early.
This is Brotato, but as a 2D platformer.
Okay, maybe we'll do that for a Patreon episode, Keith.
There you go.
We'll look into that.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up here. Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you to our Patreon members, Javier, Kelly, and thank you so much to Thomas Germany for the wonderful donation. If you would like to reach out to us, check out all our other links. Join us on our Discord. Go to our link tree or gamepassgrabbag.com, which will bring you to our link tree. You can see all our stuff. But yes, Aaron. Where can people find you? Thank you again for joining us.
I don't know. You can find me on X, Twitter X, whatever it's called. But that's about it, because I don't really have a podcast anymore. So I'm podcastless.
If anybody's looking to adopt a former podcaster, looking for a home, Aaron, what do you like to talk about? What do you want to talk to people about?
I mean, we had been doing a movie-style podcast called Scream Test, and we had done that 9 years before it ended in the dark.
You know, you just ruined Keith's dream. Keith's dream is always just to be on another person's podcast, he always wanted to be on your podcast, and now it's gone, and now Keith can never get that.
All I wanted
fairness is it was just, it was different, right? It's just different.
All I wanted really doing. was talk about Nicolas Cage just one time. And you took that dream from me.
Well, I didn't take the dream from you. We did the dream. We did the dream in front of you. So
it maybe that 9 years though. Because I know you started before us, but
at one point we were at 7 years. We started right when the first It film came out. So I don't know why that movie, because we did like 9 episodes about it, because I just think we didn't know what we were doing at that point. But so I don't know. I don't know how many years ago that was.
That was a long time ago. It was when I was commuting, because I used to listen to it. And I had no idea what you guys were talking about, because I didn't watch any of the movies. But I was like, I'll just listen, because I appreciated it. So.
Wow. Thanks for the
memory. Thanks for the memory there. I appreciated it. You filled the void of a lot of long, boring commutes for me. So.
Glad I could be.
You can't take that away. You that's an extra point for you on the podcast. I think you've officially won, because I have gotten no points at this point. I won the podcast.
Man, now this is my dream. That was my dream, was to beat this podcast, and I did today. Thank you.
What's your final score now? Like 6?
I mean, I lost count I lost count around 7, because I'm pretty sure that's where I was at. But
I only had you at maybe three, but. But Andrew and I had never gotten any points. We don't get points on this podcast. We just do it.
Yeah.
We do it for the pleasure. And I've been Keith, and I'm going to try and beat the pacifist someday.
All right, everyone.
Hours more.
All right, everyone. We love you all. We'll see you again next week. Thank you.